This is Mike Overholt. During the 2018 fall semester, the College of Charleston canceled 5 days' worth of classes on account of hurricanes. It would be nice to think this semester was a fluke, that experiencing 2 separate hurricanes in 1 semester is a once-every-50-year situation. But scientists are telling us that climate change is bringing bigger storms more often. As teachers, we need to think of how we can design a more resilient course structure, one whose tension, support, and anchorage can withstand the cancellations that university administrators need to make for our physical safety. Recently, I spoke with Ricard Viñas de Puig, an assistant professor in the Department of Hispanic Studies. He said that some of the skills he learned in the distance education readiness course were helpful for overcoming obstacles created by the weather cancellations. Keep listening to hear what he had to say.
Since I've been here, every fall we've had class cancellations due to some weather events.
If you don't mind, go ahead and talk to me about the tools that you found helpful in dealing with class cancellations that were caused by hurricanes Florence and Michael, which, if I did the math correctly, we missed 5 full class days. So 4 during the week of September 11th through the 14th, and then October the 11th, 1 month later, because of Hurricane Michael, which is a lot of class. I mean, I missed 3 class days with that.
Yes, I did miss 3 class days. I was on this last semester, I was on a Tuesday-Thursday schedule. Mm-hmm. So I did miss 3 class days, and having 75-minute classes, that's a lot of teaching time.
Wow, yeah.
that we lost. So content-wise, I had to make some adjustments to and actually go over things more quickly than I would have anticipated some content. But some of the tools that I knew existed in a way, but I had never put into practice, and the readiness course actually made me more aware of their existence and their value, were the OAKS discussion boards and VoiceThread. Mm-hmm. So I used these two tools to make up for some of the discussion that we would have had in class. So I required all the students in the storm makeup days to actually participate and be active in discussion boards. And I created a couple of VoiceThread 10-minute lessons, or not even 10, it was 5 and 7 minutes or something like that, that actually allowed me to go over some of the content that I wanted to cover in those classes. But it didn't completely substitute what I would have done in the class. I have to admit that I'm more of a traditionalist in that sense. I like the face-to-face setup, but I do understand that these tools have a lot of value and can help us adjust to the inconveniences of storm cancellations.
Well, you're not alone in the, enjoying the face-to-face. I haven't met a teacher yet who says, you know what, I got into teaching because I loved online learning. I haven't found that person yet. Maybe I will find that person. But can you tell me a little bit more clearly how this transpired? Like, so let me go back to, let's say, around September the 9th or 10th. We find out that classes are going to be canceled. Mm-hmm. Do you send out an email saying, hey, heads up?
Right. So I always communicate with students over OAKS and sending the email over OAKS. So I make sure that everybody gets that email. Mm-hmm. I posted an announcement on the announcement tools on OAKS. So if they check OAKS regularly, which is a big if, they are aware of class cancellations beyond the information that they get from the college. Mm-hmm. And then I did say in that message that I would come up with some activities to make up for the missing class time. It wasn't until later when we had the Storm Makeup Days that I put together those activities, those discussion boards in which I shared a video that they had to comment on, and they all had to comment and then respond to peers' comments. To ensure some sort of discussion. I had learned how to use these tools, although I did see that they were available, but I had learned how to use them when in the readiness course, because during that time we were learning about all the tools that are available to help you teach online. And there are a ton of tools, a boatload of tools that, that you can use, and was a little bit overwhelming, but what I did learn is that some of the tools that have that do not require anything else, any additional download, can help you be in contact with the students when these things happen.
So during that week that you said, hey, these things are going to be up online, did you make them the assignments due on those, like during that week that we were off, or did you make them due for the week coming?
I made them due for the Storm Makeup Days.
For the Storm Makeup Days.
So I waited
3 weeks later.
So I waited for the college to see what we were going to do when we were, because when Florence came, although we were mostly spared, we didn't know when we would be back.
Right. Yeah.
And I waited for the official announcement from the college to say when we'd be back. And then I knew how much we had missed of face-to-face class time. And then I could prepare an activity that would cover some of the content that we would have covered in class.
And would you say that the real benefit was that you didn't have to go back and necessarily teach that, because you had created those small lessons, but you could allow the students to complete whatever activity you had assigned for them?
I think that is mostly accurate.
What classes these were, like just one of them, and then maybe one assignment that would be helpful to identify.
So this semester I taught three sections. Two sections were Spanish conversation, and the other class was introduction to Spanish linguistics.
Okay.
So for introduction of Spanish linguistics, I found a short article that was linguistic-y in nature, and dealing with some features of Spanish in certain varieties of Spanish. So I assigned that reading. It was a short newspaper reading. It wasn't a high scientific paper on some of these quirks of Spanish. And then I asked the students to more or less summarize what that, in a discussion board, to summarize what the article said, to make sure that they had read it.
Right.
And then how what we had covered in class, specifically had been finished working on morphology, and that dealt roughly around morphology, how they could apply what we had covered in class to understand what the article was saying, and then what they found interesting, and then they had to reply to their peers' comments. So that's mostly what I did.
And that's very helpful. I mean, what I'm seeing is that there is that kind of base level of understanding the information,
right?
But then also that chance to synthesize it and to maybe even assess or to interact with other people over the content that was being used,
right? So, okay. So that were the ideas behind it then.
I wonder, though, what your thoughts are on the possibility of, in your course syllabus, saying, in the case of a hurricane, here's how we're going to conduct class so that we that we don't lose much momentum, and that we can kind of continue along until classes resume. Is that something that you might consider?
Yes. It's something that I'm might consider, and it's a good idea. Knowing this trend that, or being aware of this trend that we are very likely to be disrupted by some events, mm-hmm. especially in the fall. It's something that makes sense to include in the syllabus. But there are other ways, even if it's not a required element in the syllabus, to make students aware through an email or through announcements, and have that information always be ready on the OAKS, on the course OAKS page, which is something that I use all the time. That there are certain ways in which we will deal with these missed classes mm-hmm. due to weather events.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You know, when I first talked with you on the phone, I was really struck by the opportunity that we have as educators who have these online tools to create more resilient structures, you mm-hmm. know, with our courses, so that we can weather these storms, that we can continue moving without losing that momentum. I know how difficult it is to create momentum after you've lost it in a class,
right.
And it's painful and it's frustrating, and but if it's something that we're able to prepare for, be more proactive, like
right.
you said, I think that we have and we have some great tools, you know, that are
right, and the tools are great. One thing that I would like to say, though, and without any intention of contradicting what you're saying,
yeah.
but it is true that when you miss a class period, you lose momentum. Mm. And it's agreeing with you now, it is very hard to regain that momentum after you come back. I don't necessarily feel that those tools replace that momentum, mm-hmm. but they can keep some sort of contact.
Okay, yeah.
So it's not a 100% replacement for what you would do in class in a class period, but they are very good tools, and they are becoming increasingly necessary mm-hmm. to at least keep contact with the students and keep them on check and make sure that they are not missing a lot of what they would have done in a regular classroom.
Something you said reminded me of what I often will tell my Greek or Latin students, and that is, I'd much rather have you spend 30 minutes studying every day than every 3 or 4 days spend like 2 hours studying. Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe some of these tools are able to kind of keep that
yes.
type of momentum going.
Yes. No,
with
that
communication
yeah.
aspect of it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and I think you're right there. Some of these tools, and again, I'm a little bit of a newbie in using some of them, and I'm willing to learn. But it is true that it's a little bit overwhelming, the number of tools that are actually available, and most of them are very helpful in one way or another, but you cannot keep track of all of them.
Yep.
So,
I remember having a conversation with a teaching coach in the public school system, and she was going from one tool to the other, and I was overwhelmed after about 10 minutes of speaking with her about it. And you know, one of the things that when I came into this particular position, I feel like I act somewhat of a filter, being able to say, here is a tool that can help you with this, you know,
mm-hmm.
but there are so many tech startups out there that it is very overwhelming if you think of all of them at one time, you know. And so I'm always a big advocate of adding one at a time as
right.
it corresponds to the objectives that you have for the course. If it doesn't meet the objective, there's no reason to have it just for the sake of having it. It's possible that with the increase in storms, we might need to add an objective about,
right.
in spite of weather patterns, we're going to be able to get through this amount of content.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, some of these tools, and again, discussion boards, I think they're great, do help you at least ensure that the core content that you want to cover is covered and discussed and talked about, even if it's online and not in class. So yes, I mean, 10, 15 years ago, maybe we wouldn't have that opportunity, and now we do have it. And so, but maybe 10 or 15 years ago, we wouldn't have as many weather disruptions as we do have now.
Yeah. Ricard, thank you so much for being willing to come by and talk with me. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
This podcast is a production of the Teaching and Learning team. Chris Mashenko helped me with the selection of software and microphone. Jack Wolf helped me edit the audio. The music was created by Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com, where you can download hundreds of royalty-free tracks. Again, special thanks to Ricard Vinyas de Pooch for speaking with me at the live studio on the third floor of JC Long. Please look forward for our next episode, when I'll talk with the one and only Sarah Kollner, the Department of German and Russian Studies, about spatial narrative assignments. It will revolutionize the way we read and understand stories.